economic and social factors are dramatically shifting wealth so that by 2025, 60% of the UK's wealth will be in the hands of women. And that's mirrored in the US, and we also see in emerging markets such as Asia. However, despite this growth, women remain a less understood and underserved market. And some of that is actually about perception versus reality, but the network was created to understand what is it that female clients want, where are the gaps, how do we make a difference, and how do we need to change.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. Today, we'll be hearing from two members of the Wealthy Her Network, Tamara Gillen, founder and CEO of Cherry London, and Lisa Francis, CEO of Private Bank at Barclays Private Bank UK and Ireland. Together, they'll be sharing why women remain underserved by the financial sector and how we can tackle this together. We all know the saying, money is power. But how many of us know that when it comes to managing money, men and women approach things in very different ways? The problem is, banks and investment companies approach everyone in the same way, which tends to be a male one. This can alienate and exclude women from engaging in the financial aspects of their lives. To address this issue, 10 global leading financial organizations came together this month to create the Wealthy Her Network, a collaboration aimed at making financial institutions work better for women. While banks and financial companies have taken steps in recent years to include women, there's still a really long way to go. For example, the 2019 Wealthy Her report, which surveyed more than 2,500 people, found that a third of women feel patronized when dealing with the financial industry, and this negatively impacts their confidence. As the report found, 70% of women feel they lack confidence when it comes to engaging in the financial aspects of their lives. The Wealthy Her Network brings together industry partners like Barclays, HSBC, and JP Morgan to rewrite the rules when it comes to serving women customers. Here, founder of the Wealthy Her Network, Tamara Gillen, shares how this collaboration is making women's financial needs a priority.
We've brought together 11 partners from the UK's leading financial institutions, including Barclays and Lisa and her team, because together we believe we can drive more progressive change for female clients. We can create new opportunities for themselves, be that independence, be that about their families, or actually about broader society. So the Wealthy Her Network was created to understand and enable that change collaboratively. And that's a very female trait to collaborate. But this approach also takes real bravery and conviction from our partners because they have to work differently, often working with competitors to drive that change. So it's a really progressive approach and one we're very proud of.
Financial institutions can no longer afford to ignore half the world's population. Banks that are better able to identify and meet the needs of all women will be better placed to serve them. Here, Lisa Francis from Barclays shares why joining the network is critical to her organization's success.
We've done a huge amount to make sure that actually we have a diverse workforce to be able to talk to our clients and to understand them. And it's been a huge part of our focus here at all levels in terms of how we attract, retain and develop our females to make sure that actually we can dovetail that with our clients' needs. Because I think there is a key difference the way that we have to serve our female clients. So, I mean, there's a whole host that I think the report does cover. But I think one other thing that the female clients definitely, when we find that they do make their wealth, they care very passionately about their family and providing for those that come behind them, which is quite different sometimes from the first thing that maybe some of our wealthier males, when they come into, they might think of trophy assets, whereas I think some of our females are looking at how they protect the family and how they nurture the family as their very first thoughts, really. So I think that some of those things just make some of the behavioural patterns slightly different in the way that you have to think and help our female clients.
The 2019 Wealthy Her report investigated what wealth means to women and how women's attitudes change over time. Here, Lisa shares some of the key findings.
I think just some of the traits behind what the report does kind of tease out is I think females in general want more openness. They like to be educated when they're thinking about what they want to kind of invest their wealth in. I think personalized service comes out in terms of the importance of having, you know, that very kind of niche relationship with their banking counterparts. Our female clients don't like to feel patronized. And sometimes I think as a financial industry, we sometimes have a tendency to use jargon. So I think, you know, just trying to simplify our offering and the language in which we talk to our clients is something else that the report teases out. But I think overridingly, one of the things that really has struck me is a confidence level. And we see this in human traits through all of our different client types. But, you know, I think that our females tend to want to have 100% certainty before they jump into a decision, whether that be a career decision or an investing decision. And I sometimes feel that actually, if we were talking to some of our male colleagues, I think, you know, some of the facts that we see is that males may only have, say, 60% confidence level and are happy to make a decision at that stage.
When it comes to money, the gender confidence gap stems from the way in which financial institutions engage women. It's estimated that 86% of investment advisors are men, aged 50 plus. The lack of women in the industry means that women's needs are simply not being represented. Here Tamara explains why this matters.
We were surprised at how strongly a lack of confidence came through for women, but obviously there are different reasons for that and different dynamics. And I think, as Lisa suggests, we need to really understand women individually and personalise what they want, because for some women, it was around they didn't feel that financial institutions were recognising their contribution. So if their contribution was seen as insignificant to their husbands or not as important in their wealth planning, in fact, that immediately drives them to think, you're not valuing what I do. Also, you know, advisors not necessarily always talking to women. They are, but they're more talking to the male partner. So having that kind of more balanced understanding and also working with both parties. And also, we even saw it play out that even the most successful women who had been hugely dynamic entrepreneurs, and there was one woman who joined a focus group and she sold several businesses, made multiples of millions of pounds, but she said, I don't feel confident in financial realms because actually I've been hugely successful in my businesses, but I don't want to show I don't know when I'm dealing with finance because I'm meant to know what I do, so I don't want to ask questions. So having an open dialogue was really, really important.
How much you earn determines how much you can invest towards your goals. And this differs drastically for women and men over their careers. For example, because of the gender pay gap, it's estimated that women will have about $320,000 less than men when retiring at 67. Also, on average, women live longer than men, about 6 years longer. So women need more money to account for this. Here, Tamara shares the importance of understanding men and women's very different needs.
The big things we found out as a group was that we obviously want to make the industry more open and accessible to women, and that could include going to where they are, getting rid of some of the jargon, which is a barrier, and reduce trust. Improving education, because women want certainty, they want information, they want to make sure that they're making the right decision, and they need more information to do that. And they also want to feel confident to ask questions. And we even heard people saying, I don't want to ask the silly question. It needs to be personalised to reflect those different needs. Women want access to networks, and that could be investing information circles. It could be access to, you know, mixed networks of people to ask questions and make decisions collectively and learn from other people's experiences. And women do want to see more women. And I think that's been really, really important for us as a network. It wasn't something that we thought was critical, but in fact was raising the profile of the women and what we're doing here today.
Here, Lisa shares why we need all leaders in the industry to come together to solve this important issue.
I've always personally strove for, you know, helping those women that come behind me and thinking about how I can personally make things a better place for those coming through. But I think, you know, just developing others and where you see things that aren't working or things that could work well better for either clients or, you know, our colleagues. It's just making sure that we give females a voice and a path in which to kind of rise. And that's not necessarily just for females, it's talking to all of our workforce. But, you know, from my perspective, I do think actually understanding what's really important to our females. So, you know, I think some of the things in terms of thinking about those challenges as to how we create the right platform. So if our females, you know, have other challenges outside of their day job, it's being thoughtful around those. I think just having the seat I have, just being able to implement change, I think is just very, very powerful.
Here, Tamara shares how all organisations can get behind this important initiative.
I think that the most important message I've got is that together we can change an industry and possibilities for women, their families and broader society. And I think because we can share best practice, because we can understand what's working. So I think the most important thing is to join, because together we can create more progressive change. Because if one of us moves, understands what's working, then the rest of us can move and drive that change, which is needed both from a kind of market opportunity, but also from a kind of broader impact positively on society that women bring. And I think it's get involved. So if anyone is interested, and reach out to us and we can talk about how you're involved, because I think that that's also key. It's not one size fits all. It needs to fit the individual organization, whether they're a partner, whether you're just an individual joining the network to hear about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And then we'll work with you to understand what it is that your organization needs and how we can shape the opportunity around you.
Finally, Lisa shares her advice for how women working in the industry can overcome the numerous barriers to their advancement and what role organizations play in this.
From my perspective, I always tell those females that I mentor and are close to that no means just not today. And so, you know, the resilience piece and the confidence piece, I think, you know, sometimes we face setbacks, but actually it's making sure that our females don't take that as direction of travel. They think about how they can go on and find a different door to which to navigate, to open and, you know, keep their ambitions live and to go with their heart. The network, I think, is the most powerful piece in that, because I think the more people that join, the wider the network and the more that we can actually make sure that, you know, we're kind of expanding that whole network, both for the clients, but also for the financial institutions, because I think that that is just the power that's going to try and help make sure that we make that change.
It was so great to hear from Tamara and Lisa about the incredible work that they're doing to ensure women are included in the financial sector. It's always fantastic to see women leaders coming together and taking action to change the world. This is why today we're really pleased to announce that the Wealthy Her Network will be partnering with The Fix and supporting our work to share the incredible stories of women and men who are putting equality into practice. If you want to learn more about their work, please check out their website, wealthyhernetwork.com. At The Fix, we're always looking for new ways to engage with our listeners. So this week, we have a new segment, the Wealthy Her Weekly Fix, where you'll be hearing from one of our listeners, Emily Sevian, who undertakes business development at Investec Private Bank and is also a member of the Wealthy Her Network. Here, Emily shares her fix.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily Sevian, and I work in private banking at Investec. I've chosen to share some advice around being comfortable in asking questions. We know that confidence is something that a lot of women struggle with at work, and I think this actually does extend to feeling comfortable enough to put your hand up and ask for further information on things. It's so important to feel at ease doing this. Don't build towers of knowledge built on shaky foundations. You can have absolute confidence in what you do day to day, both in your business and your personal life, but no one expects you to be all-knowing in all walks of life. It's taken me a really long time, but one of the most valuable changes I've made was finding the confidence to voice that I wanted to learn more. It will drive you forwards professionally. It shows that you're honest, keen to learn, and meticulous in the quality of your knowledge. These are all great attributes, and to be honest, anyone that has a comment to pass on your request to learn probably isn't the kind of person that you want to be learning too much from. Don't let the fear of vulnerability slam the brakes on your career. Be inquisitive and be proud in having the confidence to be so. I hope this was useful. Remember, take every opportunity there is to learn.
I really hope you all enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll catch you guys again next week. This episode of The Fix has been made possible with support from the Wealthy Her Network, established to champion the diversity of women's wealth, with the end goal of better servicing female investors and returning a greater impact for the benefit of everyone.
This show is produced by Human Group Media, an award-winning social good podcast company. Human Group Media works with thought leaders, brands, and organizations to inspire social change through the power of audio storytelling.